الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم ما بعد. How often do you guys like to be reminded? How often do you like to be reminded? You want every day? How about every hour? That's a little bit too much, right? Every hour? Is it too much to give you dars and nasiha and lecture every hour? How about every single salah? Every time you come for salah, there should be Riyad al-Salihin, reading from Riyad al-Salihin. Maybe khatira, tafsir, safa. Would you like to have a khatira every single salah?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? But what if I tell you this is not the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Theoretically speaking, you might like that. You might love it. Says, please do it, man. But I guarantee you will not be there with every salah to listen. That's why every time you come, for you, it wasn't actually an actual every salah. It was every now and then. And that's the sunnah. Whenever you give nasiha to people, give it very often, not necessarily every single time you see them. That's how was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's how we should be with the people as well. قال الإمام النووي رحمه الله تعالى في رياض الصالحين في كتاب الأدب the book of good manners from رياض الصالحين the chapter of باب الوعظ والاقتصاد فيه chapter on brevity in preaching. So when you preach and you do that moderately. قال الله تعالى أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, invite, O Muhammad, to the way of your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom, which is the Qur'an, the revelation of the Qur'an, and with fair preaching. And the meaning of that, moderate preaching. Maw'idha al-hasana, that is, that's good, that can be acceptable, being, you know, taken lightly by the hearts and the minds of people. So you do it moderately as much as you can. قال وعن أبي وائل شقيق بن سلمة رضي الله عنه قال كان ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه يذكرنا في كل خميس. He says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this is one of the companions of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he used to remind us, he used to talk to us, he used to lecture us, basically, an official lecture. He used to lecture us once every Thursday. So once a week. That's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, an official dars. Imagine you have a superstar imam like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, mashallah. Would you be satisfied with only once a week from him? He said, no, he says, come on, you are Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, please give us more. He says, no, just once enough for you. So we would like to have more, but he has a different way of doing it. قَالَ فَقَالَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ يَا أَبَا عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّكَ ذَكَّرْتَنَا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. So one man, he told him, O Abu Abd al-Rahman, we love your talk, and we wish that you should preach us every single day. Could you make a lecture every single day? That's what he mean by that. How about having a lecture on Tuesday, on Monday, on Thursday, on Friday? Every single day you would have a lecture. قال عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال أما إنه يمنعني من ذلك أني أكره أن أملكم. He said, there is nothing to hinder me from doing so, but I don't lest I should bore you, which means I don't want you to become bored. I don't want to overwhelm you, become too much for you. Which means a reminder is good, but too much of it, and that same fashion every single day, becomes too much. Too much is actually too much. Then he said, "قال وإني أتخولكم بالموعظة كما كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بها مخافة السامة علينا." متفق عليه. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقصد بتخول يعني الموعظة أنه كان يفعلها ليس باستمرار كل يوم بقدر ما تكون في كل زمان فترة، يعني يعطيها مرة ثم يفتر عن الناس. والمقصود بهذه الموعظة الموعظة الطويلة مثل الخطبة النصيحة الطويلة عند درس مع آخر. أما الموعظة العامة هذه القصيرة كان يفعلها صلى الله عليه وسلم إجمالا. إذن he said I follow the same method in preaching to you that Allah's messenger adopted in preaching to us for fear that might be bored. So basically he says, the way I'm doing it, I did like the Prophet ﷺ did. And again, remember, that's to have an official يعني, lesson. The Prophet ﷺ, according to Hadith Asma bint Sakan Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anha, he gave one day for the women. He used to give them one exclusive lecture, like we do here in the Madrasa, for example, Wednesday, There's one exclusive lecture for the ladies, for example. And he would give one exclusive for the men, the general of the community, and there will be khutbah al-jum'ah for everybody. And then those side conversations and minor nasiha or casual setting, they'll be different. Like when he'll be, when they'll be waiting for the grave to be prepared for burial, he would sit down there, speak with the people casually, and that would count as a nasiha, as a mu'ilah. He would be walking with some sahaba and he would say, by the way, what do you guys think of this animal that is thrown on the floor? Would you buy anything? He said he saw one day a dead goat. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many of you would buy this for one dirham from me? It's like saying, would you buy this for a dollar? قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا بِيَقَلْ مِنْ دَلِكَ. Not even less than that. Means who is going to buy this anyway? He says, the dunya عند الله أهون عندكم من هذه الجيف. This whole dunya is the way this is worthless to you. This whole dunya is much less in value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this corpus of this animal to you. So he's reminding them as he walks with them, as they talk, as they sit down and so on. But to take and make an official يعني, lecture or dars or maw'idah, he would do that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occasionally, khashyat as-sa'ama, so that people do not get actually bored. So eventually, يعني, we hope inshallah by doing what we do in this masjid, we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salat al-Isha, even though it's done every single night, but not everybody attends every single night. So for them, those who come occasionally, they see the reminder. So they fall into that sunnah. Those who come every single night, inshallah, I hope that you guys don't get bored, inshallah. Wallahu ta'ala. Any question? Yes?
Does this apply to teaching as well?
No.
So,
that probably is different. When you teach a specific, let's say, durus, yeah, specific sciences, that's different. So when they used to sit down to give them hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the story of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that would be different. Like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, sometimes he would sit from Asr until Adhan al-Isha. Can you imagine sitting in a lecture from Salat al-Asr until Salat al-Isha? I hope it was in the winter, the day would be shorter, but if it was in the summer, it would be very, very long. But people would sit there. As a matter of fact, on one of these occasions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Abbas, hadith in Sahih Muslim, after praying Salat al-Asr, he starts giving his talk. Remember that Abdullah ibn Abbas used to be a governor for Iraq for some time during the fitna for Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. So there was so much trouble going on there. So he was like a peacemaker radiallahu ta'ala in the area. So he was speaking to the people, perhaps was a very urgent matter for the ummah. Until Maghrib time, until it was Maghrib that the sun went down, and Abdullah did not stop speaking. So as he was continuing talking and speaking, some of the people, they saw, we start seeing the stars. And what does that mean? It's getting dark. It's almost Isha time right now. And he didn't pray Maghrib. So one of those smart guys in the audience, we always have smart guys in every audience, mashallah. So he starts saying, Salah. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he heard him, but he continued to speak and preaching. Meaning, I heard that, and I didn't like it, that's what it means. So he continued talking. And that smart guy again, he goes, Salah ibn Abbas. Salah, time for Salah. So ibn Abbas continued. Khalaf akthar alayh. So the man starts, getting kind of rowdy. As if he's going to become, mashallah, more knowledgeable, more careful for the Salah than a man like ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So the man goes, As-salat, as-salat ibn Abbas. So Ibn Abbas, he stopped speaking and he addressed the guy in a very decisive manner. قَالَ تُعَلِّمُنِي بِالصَّلَاةِ لَأُمَّلَكَ. Are you going to teach me about salah? May your mother lose you. He قَالَ, I used to pray with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we used to join al-Dhuhr wal-Asr wal-Maghrib wal-Isha. Sometimes he would join in Medina, Salat al-Dhuhr and Salat al-Asr together, Salat al-Maghrib and Salat al-Isha together, and there will be no rain, no travel, and no fear, which means no clear sign for that combination of the salah. What would be the reason for that? So some of the people, out of curiosity, they said, what was that for? قَالَ أَرَادَ أَلَّا يُحْرِجَ أُمَّةً. He didn't want to create any hardship for the ummah. Which means this is just like a concession. When someone, when there is a need, I don't want to say necessity, but when there is a need for someone, for whatsoever reason, that is really considered a need, that someone needs to combine between the salawat, that would be possible. Mm-hmm. So then after that, they did the salah afterwards. So the point here is that Abdullah bin Abbas, he gave a very long talk. But that would be something occasional. It wouldn't be actually every time. Just like when you have a big event, and you take 2 or 3 hours for that event, that is possible. When you have a conference, when you have a 1 weekend program, but the rest of the week will be casual reminders, that is softening the hearts. But of course, alhamdulillah, any informative talk. Allah. Now. Yes.
So like, I went to this wedding one time, and that's exactly what they did. They
In a wedding?
In a wedding, yeah. They basically, they didn't pray, they combined the salah, like Maghrib and Isha.
They combined Maghrib and Isha
because they were
the
like, because, yeah, so I talked to the, so I talked to the sheikh that did that afterwards, and I said, what's going on here? Kind of like, I guess it's my prayer, right? Because I was like, I didn't know any better. I was like, well, you know, what's the deal? What's going on here? And so he said, you know, if people leave and they don't pray,
yeah,
then, you know, it's a bad thing, yada, 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 so this and that. So I called up another guy afterwards, and I was like, what's going on here? So is the guy probably the sheikh? Is he using the same
Combined Maghrib and Isha,
uh-huh,
because of the wedding?
Yeah, it was time for Maghrib. They prayed Maghrib and then they just went ahead and prayed Isha too.
So they joined Maghrib and Isha at the time of Isha?
At the time of Maghrib.
At the time of Maghrib.
Because they didn't want people to go home late and then not pray.
They didn't want people to go home late. Now that is a wrong actual strategy. If it was the opposite, I would have maybe approved it.
Yeah.
If it was to delay Maghrib, so they can pray Maghrib and Isha later time for convenience in this regard. Better, but people, they can still, when they go home, they can pray Isha anytime later. But I don't think that would be a good Allahu A'lam, I don't know the exact details of the circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it wouldn't be actually a decision that needs to be considered like a dhuhra. Allahu A'lam.
Right?
Maghrib and Isha. Don't expose the party. Yeah, of course. Yeah, do it. Tama for every salah. But the adhan is only one. Just like when you do it when there is rain. Yeah, we did actually generally just a couple of days ago for the rain. When you pray Maghrib and Isha, Dhuhr and Asr, it depends on the circumstances. Allah. Now. Yes? Because of work? Is it something that happens every single day, right? Then in this case, no. When we talk about what Ibn Abbas said, our ulama actually debated over this issue. Some of the fatwa, they're very strict on the matter of combining between the salawat. Like in the Hanafi school, they're very strict on this issue. There is no combination except for the Hajj season. That's it. As other fuqaha, they give concessions like rain, if it was during the night, during the day. Others, they consider not just the rain, it's actually unusual weather conditions. So, for example, in the Arabian Peninsula, you will have these habub, which is the storms, sandstorms. That is a chance. That's a time for them to make jam'. It doesn't happen here every day. Rain, if it happens, it might be actually strong rain for them. But when you go to countries like Indonesia and Malaysia, these in tropical areas, rain is everyday event. So it's not necessarily the reason for them to do jam'. But if it becomes something that's serious, that's when they do jam'. So jam' when you have a specific circumstances for it. Work is an everyday circumstances. Going to school is everyday circumstances. Combine the salawat for that reason doesn't count like this. That's wrong. So one of the ulama who put a criteria for that, like Imam al-Shawkani, who are also following other fuqaha from the past, says, أَشَرْطَ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ ذَلِكَ دَيْدَنَا, as long as doesn't become habitual. Meaning, because wallah, I'm running late a little bit, so I'm going to make Dhuhr and Asr together. You can't do that just for that. It has to be something legit. Wallahu a'lam.
If we have another new addition to the community, baby girl named Layla.
MashaAllah, who's this?
My grandpa.
Allahu Akbar, takbir, jama'ah. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Are you a grandpa right now? Is that your first? MashaAllah, Ali. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your children, all of you, jama'ah.
Amen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the summa, bidnillah, of righteous children. that will be, carry the legacy for the future and also become a comfort of your eyes and your heart, all of them. Now, yes.
So, if you need to combine Zohar and Asr and the Zohar, and then combine...
You can do it either way, depending on the circumstances. If, okay. Depending on the circumstances, you can make it Jam'a Taqdeem, which is the Jam'a done at that time with the first Salah. So you pray Dhuhr and Asr at the time of Dhuhr. Or deferred by delaying Asr, Dhuhr at the time of Asr. When you do Jam'a, usually the Jam'a can be done between the beginning of the time of the first Salah all the way until right before the end time of the second Salah. So when you talk about Jam'a, Dhuhr and Asr, someone, let's say, traveling, they can do Jam'a between Dhuhr and Asr from, let's say, right now it's around 1:40, from 1:40 all the way until almost close to 7:20, which is the time right before Maghrib. So any time between those two times, they can make the Jam'a if they were traveling, for instance. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallah, alhamdulillah, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.